Today it's Ramona Shelburne and Kirk Morrison in for Mason in Ireland. They're taking their reset. I guess they got a couple of days here to get away before the Lakers start in the playoffs, before they move back to middays. I don't really know what Mason's excuse is here, but it's our time to shine, and Chris Morales is just not here for us, Kirk. I was so expecting that, and I don't know where he is. Like, I want something special.
Yeah, I was, like I said before, I think he is doing another promo for Keyshawn for the morning show. Yeah, so I'm sticking to that story. But yeah, no, or maybe LZ or George or
no. No, we would outrank all of those.
That's people. What I'm saying. Like, at least
I just think Keyshawn's like the national guy now. He's all yeah. Keyshawn, and, you know, they're making a big deal. I get that. But I remember things. I remember things, Chris. Well, next time you're gonna make it up to me. Hey, today, big story today. Lakers are through their seeding games, and Memphis was able to beat Milwaukee. So Memphis is in the play-in game. We're waiting to find out if they'll be playing against Phoenix or against Portland. Looks like it's going to be Portland. It should be Portland. All they have to do is beat the Nets coming up here at 6 o'clock. But stranger things have happened, Kirk. Yeah. And Dame Lillard expended a lot of energy the other day. I'm trying to – the Nets have beaten some teams they had no business beating. I don't know. I'm trying to find some drama to that game. But – If I was betting on this, I think it's going to be Portland against Memphis in that 8-9 game.
Yeah, and I would love to see it. And I'm here for it. I'm all here for it because I do want to see Ja, the NBA's rookie of the year. I don't think we can deny that.
Yeah.
He's been an outstanding player. His game has been seamless, right? Coming over from Murray State, comes right into the league, and you're like, wow, this dude is – what he was doing in college, yeah, he's doing in the NBA. And I think to have at least that play-in game to go in with a guy like Dame, I would love to see those two go at it, honestly, Ramona, just because it gives me a lot of hope if I'm a young basketball player that it doesn't matter if you go to Duke or Kentucky or Kansas, right? We're talking about a guy who went to Weber State in Dame Lillard and a guy who went to Murray State in Ja Morant. So – these two guys can battle it out for an 8 seed, but I think you said it earlier. These aren't necessarily number 8 seeds. Like, they're not. Like, that's just what they put on paper. But what I'm watching from Memphis, I would say they're probably a fringe, you know, 8 seed, 8-7 maybe, right? Portland to me is a between 3 and 5 seed. From what I've seen from them in the bubble, the way that they've played, the guys they've had returning. And to think they're without a guy like Trevor Ariza. What if you had Trevor Ariza on that team right now? Another veteran who's won a championship, played with Kobe Bryant, you know what I mean? So he's got that going for him, had he been a part of the Blazers. So, Ramona, I'm thinking, I'm selfishly, I want to see this sort of play-in game just to give me just one more game that really is important. I love elimination games. I love you know the one and done format, and because when we get to the the rounds of round one and you got 7-game series, obviously Lakers can drop a game here or two, but I just think it's going to be a better matchup against the Portland Trailblazers. Hey, look, Ja, it's going to take some time, but I don't want to be around you in the years to come because you are going to be a problem. But I don't think that he is necessarily, and that squad is just ready currently with what the NBA has for this season for this playoff run.
You know, there's a part of me that wanted to use the Suns and the Trailblazers get into that 8-9 game because those have been the two most exciting teams in the bubble, right? The Suns, you know, they went 8-0. They did everything they could have done. Nobody thought that they belonged. Like, to me, the Suns were like the guests that you just invite when everybody else says no. And you're like, all right, we got some room for them, I guess. You know, like, they're cool. Might as well. And then they went 8-0, and they were great.
Oh, I got it, Ramona. I got it.
Huh.
They were the person that came to the cookout, the barbecue, the Thanksgiving dinner, and you told them, man, you know what? Y'all just bring a dessert.
Yeah.
And they came in and they brought that fire dessert. And you're like, whoa, what was this?
Yeah.
Like, Like, wait. And so now going into next year, you may want to give them more duties. Like, okay, maybe we like see, maybe you could try the roast next year or the ham or whatever it may be. But yeah, that's what they were, like you mentioned, expected to do, not much, but to their point, to their credit, and something that you said earlier too, about, you know, players who just want to play. That it doesn't matter. They just want to go out there and play. It doesn't matter where the game is being held at. This means something to them. So, yeah, to think about Phoenix and how they could have been. You think about the games that they dropped earlier in the year, Ramona, like they could have definitely been in if they kind of reversed course earlier in the season.
Well, it looks like the Lakers are going to end up getting the Portland Trail Blazers. Mm. And our friend Stephen A. was asked earlier today about whether the Lakers should be afraid of Dame Lillard, Mr. 61 points the other night, coming at them in the first round.
Don't mess with Dame. Don't mess with Dame Dollar. That, he's not the one. He's not the one. This brother on many, many occasions has stepped up in big moments and he has closed. This brother has carried this Portland Trailblazers franchise, and this dude is worthy of being the face of a franchise.
Yeah, and you know what? And Stephen A. covered the player that I think Dame Lillard is starting to really remind me of. Stephen A., if you don't know, before he became Stephen A., well, actually, I think he was always known as Stephen A., but he wasn't on every single show, and he definitely wasn't Screaming A., okay? He was a columnist in Philadelphia. Really good writer, really good reporter, and covered a lot of Allen Iverson. And I just, like, the way Dame was the other day, the way he got in to mix it up with the Clippers, the way he kind of defended his honor and said, put some respect on my name after he, you know, he failed in that big moment, and then he came up in the big moment. Like, he is reminding me so much of Allen Iverson these days, I think just reputationally, that I don't think you want to mess with a guy like that in the first round, but that's where they're going to be.
Yeah, he first of all, growing up in Oakland, California, and just his story, right? You know, when I go back home to the hometown, I mean, Dame Lillard. I mean, right now it is Dame Lillard and Marshawn Lynch. I don't know why I couldn't think of Marshawn Lynch's name, but it's been beast mode. I mean, beast mode and Dame time. Those two guys right now really putting the city of Oakland on their back and giving a lot of people, you know, something to shoot for. Because I look at Dame, and I mentioned in that, you know, mentioning that he played at Weber State, and now having an opportunity to be on the big stage and always feeling like he's been disrespected. I don't think Dame has been disrespected. I just felt like, man, you in a loaded West with Chris Paul and Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. You think about the guard play just in the Western Conference. Yeah, it has been difficult. But what I've been seeing over the last couple of weeks, the 61-point performance, 51 points right before that, and the Clippers kind of laughing at him because he missed a couple free throws. Like, it gives me a storyline in the NBA, but it's another player, Ramona, like Devin Booker was and like TJ Warren, that I don't think that the NBA has to like lean on Zion like I thought they were trying to, right? I think a lot of us were like, man, maybe Zion can get that 8 seed and we can, you know, see what it looks like there. But it's like, I think I'd rather have Dame right now than some of the younger players who are still trying to just get their footing.
Mm. Well, that's probably what you're going to get. And coming up next, we got Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN and has been on some of those Zoom calls that we saw featured on Hard Knocks Episode 1 that came out this past week. Coming up next, Kirk Morrison in for Steve Mason and John Ireland, Ramona Shelburne, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Woo! It does, you know what? This song makes me feel like the weekend, right? This song makes me feel like I want to stand up and stretch my legs as we play this one. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, in for Mason in Ireland. And we got one of my friends in the business, my little sister in the business, Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams and the Chargers now for ESPN, joining us now. Lindsay, how you doing?
Ramona, I'm good. You know, just it made my day when your guys' Lindsay said, "Hey, want to jump on the radio with Momo?" And I went, "Yeah, let's do it."
And we have to what we have to do whenever Lindsay and I come on radio together is we have to make a pact that we're going to do all the football stuff first. But before she goes, we have to have like 2 or 3 minutes of Below Deck talk because she and I both are addicted to that Bravo show. And this season has been fire. Fire.
It's been good. I can't turn away.
I can't either. So first episode of Hard Knocks, I see you in that Zoom call with Jalen Ramsey. And I part of me was just like, okay, I understand that he gave you an answer and then somebody asked a follow-up and he gave the same answer. But, like, was that really grounds for getting up and walking out and acting, like, that upset about it? Like, I don't know. I thought that was, like, buddy, you're in L.A. Like, there's going to be questions.
Yeah, there's going to be questions. And, you know, the thing is that Jalen has been outspoken on many topics throughout his NFL career. Last year he came to training camp when he was at the Jaguars in a armored vehicle that would transport money, making a statement. So he's kind of developed, you know, a little bit of a reputation about who he is and what he likes to talk about. Respectfully to him, he didn't answer the question that Gary Klein of the LA Times asked him twice, that he just didn't answer the question. And then, you know, when he's going to follow that with kind of a quip about, hey, you guys have to take the answer I give you, We don't have to actually take the answer you give us. We can continue to ask the question. And he kind of playfully said that. So when I jumped in there, it was more sort of like, hey, come on, like, that's a fair question. And to his credit, in that before he got up and walked out, he did answer the question. He goes, hey, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Essentially, that was all we needed. Like, great, so you're not worried about it. Because before he was just telling us who does the deal, and we know the answer to that. But to know that he's not worried about it, that's simple enough. That answers the question. So I'm not really sure why he didn't just say that from the beginning. But I guess we got it eventually. And look at that. It turned out to be great fodder for Hard Knocks.
Ah, Lindsay, it was amazing because you're just doing your job. And I think people think that, oh, it's the media. They're trying to get a story. Like, no, it really is a story. I mean, it was the same thing that what we did for Aaron Donald. Remember when everybody's waiting for his contract and Aaron said all the right things and finally the Rams rewarded him. But at some point, when do you think that contract gets done? Having seen some of the bigger contracts be thrown out there so far, Lindsay, to other players, whether it was Joey Bosa with the Chargers, we know Myles Garrett, and we saw George Kittle today with the 49ers became the highest paid tight end in NFL history. So when does Jalen Ramsey become the highest paid cornerback in NFL history?
Yeah, the Rams have a bit of a pattern they've established the last couple of years with these really big contracts. In Todd Gurley's case, it happened the night before training camp started. For Jared Goff and Aaron Donald, it was the weekend before the season opener. I would anticipate that they'll likely have, if things are on track as they have been in the past, a new deal before the season opener for Jalen. I think the one thing that does maybe throw a little bit of a wrench in everything this year, and this is kind of across the board for a lot of teams, is just if the salary cap does fall next year because of the economic situation, because of the coronavirus, and that could affect what they're doing and how they need to structure it, just because Jalen's not the only guy they would like to pay. They'd like to pay Cooper Kupp. They would like to keep John Johnson around, though sometimes now that's looking a little bit more like a long shot to be able to keep everybody. Obviously Jalen is the priority though, and I know they want to get that done because that will determine what else they're able to get done.
So Lindsay, I know you're covering the Chargers as well right now, and one of the big revelations of the first episode was that Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, had coronavirus. He said it was a golfing buddy, it sounded like. Maybe he got it golfing or from the golfing buddy, something like that. But did anybody know that until he just revealed that? Did anybody on the team or in and around the media reveal it? Know it?
No. I mean, that's like the most, that's the biggest gut punch of watching Hard Knocks when you're covering a team. It's like, what? This was going on right under our noses. Like, wow, like, send me back to J School 101. But, you know, nobody knew that. And, you know, Adam Schefter did report over the summer, or over a few months ago during the offseason, that someone in the organization, in the Chargers organization, had tested positive. But it was not revealed that it was Anthony Lynn. And we're going to talk with him tomorrow about his experience. But yeah, just a huge revelation there right at the top when he revealed that to his players in the meeting. And I mean, we saw the look on Joey Bosa's face. I'm pretty sure that was the look on a lot of faces as they're watching Hard Knocks.
Well, you know, one of the things I thought was interesting about it is, first, he kind of said it on the call, the Zoom call, and you saw Joey Bosa's face like, oh, wow. but when he tells the story to the Hard Knocks producers, he's got a mask on. It's a little bit hard to hear, I think. I don't know if it's you or if you've gotten used to it, but he tells this story about when he first got it, the first day or two when he got his positive results, he felt like he was like an outcast. Mm-hmm. Like, now, oh shoot, I may have exposed all these people that no one can be around me. There was this feeling of shame, almost like he did something wrong, and that's how he got it. And I think that's something that, you know, I've noticed in and around the sports world, and I flash all the way back on Rudy Gobert testing positive back in March, where I got to give, like, history will treat Rudy Gobert kindly, because he had to give permission for us to report that he had coronavirus, that he had tested positive. The team would not have said it. They would have said, you know, he's out, or we've canceled the season because a player has tested, or a person with the Jazz. Like, if he didn't give his permission to report that, by HIPAA rules, we wouldn't have been able to. No one would have been able to confirm it. And if they did, they would have been violating those rules. So Gobert... Mm-hmm. comes forward and he becomes the face of coronavirus. Like, he will forever be linked, be called, you know, the guy who shut down the NBA season. And I wonder why Anthony Lynn didn't reveal that earlier, didn't say that publicly earlier. And we know Sean Payton did when he got it early on. I think every time somebody gets over the stigma of that outcast stigma of having coronavirus, it really helps other people understand how dangerous it really is, and how infectious it can be.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to speak for Anthony Lynn, and to be honest, I really don't know him that well, because our interactions have been mostly limited to Zoom while I've covered the team. But he does, in those interactions and the different topics, which have been such a wide-ranging variety of them this summer, you know, especially with the social justice issues, Anthony Lynn doesn't strike me as somebody who ever wants to, like, attract attention to himself.
Uh-huh.
As far as just, he wants to do his job and do it well. And I think he is a very quiet, but, like, pretty profound leader. But I just don't think he ever wants to make anything about himself. So I'll be interested to hear what he says tomorrow. But if I had to kind of guess why maybe he didn't come out, he just doesn't seem like that kind of person. And, you know, we probably could go around and round and say, well, this time he maybe needed to help set an example. But I think that in his life, he kind of seems to do things quietly under the radar without trying to attract fanfare. And he tries to do the right thing. So I'll be curious, though, to hear what he says tomorrow.
Lindsay, I know you tweeted about it. So have you been investigating, or what have you heard in the investigation of porta potty etiquette at Rams camp?
Oh my gosh, Kirk, I'm just hoping so much that those porta potties are cleaned every day, because that's what we're all going to be using. From what I've been told, there's tier one, tier two, and tier three.
Oh, no.
you know what? When it comes to... that issue, I did tweet about it, but that is just like a world I'd rather not know about. I'm just praying that everything is clean and just the gag reflex isn't hit when you have to walk into any of those things, because I'm already a germaphobe. Now I'm double germaphobe with the COVID-19 situation. Kirk, this is like giving me chills right now, even thinking about it.
I mean, that was obviously like the end note of the Hard Knocks episode, and it's been very fun for us all radio show long to be talking about, where Sean McVay basically says, who went number two in the porta potties? Don't you guys know you're not supposed to do number two in the porta potties, right? There is kind of an etiquette to that. Like, we have that in the NBA where there's, you know, if there's just like a single restroom and it's like what everybody has to use, you just get in and out. You don't really linger. You don't take the time for number two, and you definitely don't want to stink up the restroom. So there is some kind of etiquette that should not have to be explained. Which I was glad Sean McVay did. All right. Enough football. We got to talk Below Deck. For those of you who don't know, Below Deck, it's legit now. It's been written about in the New York Times. Did you see this?
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm going to have to Google search that the minute we get off the phone.
So, Kirk, Lindsay and I are addicted to this show on Bravo, where it's all about the yachties who work on these super yachts. And it's kind of upstairs, downstairs, like the crews, you know, talking about each other. They all, you know, there's definitely two or three crew boat manses that happen, you know, while they're all in confinement, you know, they get together. And then, of course, by the end of the season, they're all broken up and they hate each other, or at least by the reunion show they do. But this week's episode that aired on Monday, the big reveal is that at the end, one of the chief stewardess, who all of us really like, Hannah, was somebody took a picture of her, like a weed pen that she had brought on board and some Valium, and they sent it to the captain like, it is my duty to report this. And we don't really know what's going to happen next, but we do know that Hannah is no longer going to be with the show going forward. So what do you think?
Well, I have to admit, I've spent more time researching narcotics and prescription drug law in the maritime industry than I'd ever like to admit. I probably shouldn't tell my editor that. But I mean, it's pretty wild. I don't know if it was just the editing, but like, this is someone's livelihood. Damn, you know, this is a reality show, but this is also someone's livelihood, and she said she had a prescription. I don't know. I still am not entirely clear on what the maritime laws are, if it's prescription drug, but you know, you have to keep everybody safe. So Hannah needs to keep people safe, but also, like, man, the show just kind of went next level on the drama. This is no longer about some stew getting mad about the laundry. This is like very, very real.
Yeah, and then the other big drama, Kirk. Okay, I'll let you weigh in on this. The other big drama
Kirk rolling his eyes right now. Like, what are you guys?
No, I'm just.
It's pretty good though, right?
Yeah,
this is big.
Find something new. So I'm always good to explore.
The other drama was the chef kind of wasn't cutting it. They fired the chef, and they needed a new chef really quickly. And it just so happened that the chief bosun, who's a woman on this show, her boyfriend is a really good chef, and he happened to be going to visit her recently. They had a day off. So he comes through, and the captain's like, hey, can your boyfriend be our new chef? And he's like, yeah, okay, I can do that. So they want to room together now. But that means the chief stew has to room with this other stewardess who is like her rival. And they had a big debate over whether the couple should take priority. Like, should she get to sleep in the same cabin as her boyfriend? Or should they stay set apart so that the two enemies don't have to share a cabin? What do you think, Kirk?
I mean,
That's a lot. I'm trying to process.
Yeah, it's a lot, right? Yeah. You see why the show is so good?
I'm still processing the chef and now the cabin.
Like, right now, like, I'm kicking you up with this.
Yeah, I'll let you guys handle that one. I don't know if I can keep up. I'm hearing, I just heard chef, so immediately.
Well,
the way it
worked out was the chief stew basically said, "No, I'm not rooming with her. We hate each other." And then the bosun, the girl who was in the couple, she went around her. She went to the captain and tattled. And then the captain said, "What? No, you guys can shack up together. She's got to move. They got to tolerate each other." So she took the chef side because he outranks everybody. He's the most important person, even though he just got there.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Big news. Big news on around. Big news on Below Deck.
Okay. Wait. Here's a question. I know Kirk can definitely help us weigh in.
Yes.
Kirk, if you tell a chef that you want a Vegas style dinner, what would you expect for that personal chef to whip up for you?
Whew, I would definitely say lobster
Okay.
I would say a nice filet. some like was like some potatoes that have been like mashed together, but yet pureed, and like a nice little plate, a beautiful display, and an off the wall kind of drink as well.
Okay, yeah, the chef on this show, yeah, he made like fried foods. He did like chicken fingers. It's like a 5-star yacht. He made nachos and chicken fingers, and that was kind of the end for him.
Yeah.
All right, Lens. That's the end for us, too.
All right.
We got breaking news out of the NCAA. They've decided they have a plan for the fall sports, and it's not good news for college football. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, in for Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, yeah, that's the appropriate mood. That's the appropriate mood. I think the NCAA has just made it official, Lens. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison in for Mason and Ireland here on 710 ESPN. And I think we all knew this, right? We all thought this was going to happen, but it's kind of different when you actually see it. The NCAA has basically come out and said now in a tweet and a press release that there will not be fall championships. So those schools that want to play football can play football, but there's no BCS.
Yeah, so it's a kind of adding on to it a little bit, Ramona.
Yeah.
It's a little weird because now we're talking about fall sports,
right?
So fall sports on the FCS level, and this is where NCAA gets tricky. There's FCS and there's FBS. So with the FCS level, that's kind of like 1AA.
Right.
They won't have fall football. Or they won't have fall championships. Now when you get to the FBS level, we call it, and by the way, these levels mean pretty much nothing. I go back to when it was just Division I and there was Division II.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So FCS means Football Championship Series, which is actually where they actually play a playoff. Ramona, I actually did a playoff game last year.
Okay.
And you know, North Dakota State is one of the better teams in FCS, and it's the school that Carson Wentz went to, and they've got an outstanding quarterback by the name of Trey Lance, who Ramona he is an outstanding player, and he's eligible to go to the draft because he'll be 3 years removed this year if they don't play. So he's got a decision he has to make. But the FBS level, which stands for Football Sub Bowl division, okay? So football bowl division. Basically, football bowl subdivision. Basically, Ramona, the college football playoff doesn't fall under the actual championship.
Okay.
So there is the loophole, because I just texted my play-by-play guy. That's why.
He said,
that's great for, it's not good for the FCS level. But remember, on the football bowl subdivision, that's why the Power Five and those schools kind of branched off. And that's why even the NCAA doesn't have a hand in what these conferences decide. The NCAA is just a governing body of laws of what you have to do, but the actual conferences, they can do whatever they want to.
Interesting.
That's why there's no uniformity, right? That's the one thing that
It's almost like it's like in boxing where there's different organizations.
Yeah, the WBO, the WCO,
you're like,
champion.
What?
Yeah. Like,
I read that story and I read this tweet from it's literally from the inside the NCAA account. We cannot at this point have fall NCAA championships, and thought, okay, that's bad for college football. I mean, it is bad for college football, but apparently for the three conferences we have left out of the Power Five,
they can do whatever they want to do. Yes, they can do a football. Wow. Remember, the college football playoff is different, right?
Okay.
That's a different entity, right? It's not it's a championship, but it's a championship that they've made up through those, you know, five power conferences and maybe, you know, the at large if possible. So it's like this fine line that they can still have a football championship type of series on the FBS level. So
basically, like, it wouldn't count as a national championship, correct?
It depends. In whose eyes would you think? Like, because all schools weren't allowed to participate or whatever.
But what, I mean, like, what about the trophy? So the trophy, that's from the college football playoff.
Right.
So they can still get that.
Yes.
Right. So there's right now we have the ACC.
Yeah, that's a great point.
SEC and Big 12. Yeah.
Have you ever looked at the trophy? Like, think about the trophy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You just said it. What is the trophy called? It's called the College Football Playoff Trophy. So it's like it's a separate entity. It's like, but it's all NCAA. Like, no, it's actually something totally different. It's crazy, right?
I think we created it at ESPN too, right? Pretty sure, like, we created the whole thing. Like,
we created
that programming and the bowl games and the whole setup. Yes. So I think that's still intact. The difference is we don't have Big Ten and Pac-12, so two of the five. And when we had Stu Mandel on yesterday, he was saying it's kind of up to those Power Five conferences if they want to continue, if they want to have their championship this year. Dabo Swinney came out and said, whoever wins this year is the champ. Right? That's the Clemson head coach. So I think if they power through, if they're able to have a season, it's whoever's playing is going to be, you know, eligible. I still have a lot of doubts about whether or not we're really going to be able to pull this off. I don't see any, you know, when I watched Hard Knocks and saw the level of sanitization going on, like, I mean, they're just spraying everything all the time. There's daily tests, there's temperature checks, there's mask wearing, social distancing, et cetera. Like, the NFL's really taking this, you know, very seriously, and look like none of the players had, you know, there was only one player amongst the Rams and the Chargers who had it, who tested positive for COVID-19. Now, obviously, that can change at any moment. We've seen in baseball how quickly that can change. You get one or two players with it, and it spreads real quickly throughout a team or a locker room. But I don't know how college football can keep its players as safe as a professional organization unless they go and just live in a team hotel.
Yeah, I would say not necessarily a team hotel, but I would think sort of a dormitory, right? Like, you're going to have to quarantine them some kind of way. But, I honestly believe that coaches are going to have to look at guys in the eye and say, look, if you want football, this is what you got to do. If you don't do it, you kind of like what we saw. I was telling you today earlier about the guy who plays for the Seahawks trying to sneak a girl into his room and he got cut. I forgot the kid's name, but a Seattle Seahawks player.
It kind of doesn't matter anymore because he's not going to have a long career.
Well, yeah, he's been cut. He's been circulating around, and my buddies have been texting me like, what is this dude thinking? I'm just like, look, man. And he's a rookie too, undrafted guy. His career of playing professional sports may be over, because that's the one thing people are going to remember this kid's name, because he was the guy that got cut trying to sneak a girl into his room and actually made her put on Seahawks actual gear to look like she was a player. Like, that's just not, you can't do that. And that's where coaches have to draw the line, make an example out of people. And I've told you, Ramona, I never want to be that guy that someone had to make an example of. That's just what me. Like, you're not going to make an example out of me. I'm going to be here on time, do what I'm supposed to do. And you could always rely on me.
Yeah, I was the person they made an example of a few times. I'm not going to lie.
Not you, Ramona. No.
Yeah, no, it was, you know what it was? There was, my coach liked to, you know, he was a yeller, okay? Right. He was like a, you know, he had a lot to say, and he had, I was like the one who could take it. So I think he knew, it's not that I messed up all the time. It's not that like I was late or violating team rules or anything like that. But if it was like, I need you to take this is how I want you to lead off, you know, or if I didn't do that part right, or if I didn't do whatever right, it was always me who got yelled at, because there was only one other freshman in my class. So the whole time it was like me or her, you know, and he couldn't yell at her, cause she was real quiet. And like, she would have probably started crying or something if she got yelled at. Right. And I was just like, man, how did I get to be this girl? You know, like, every little thing I do is just, you know, Ramona. I mean, it's like, I used to dream it. I could hear him yelling at me in my sleep. Like, Ramona. Like, it was never nice, right? They don't say your name like, hey, Ramona, can you come over here and talk about it? It was like, Ramona, ah! Right? So I was that girl. All right. Yeah. Okay. So that story is a little, it's confirming what we already kind of thought was happening with the rest of the world. But the three Power Five conferences that are still trying to make football happen and can't deal with a world in which the virus exists and football exists. They can still do what they want to do, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, it's still fluid, but we'll see. Hopefully something happens. I want to see some kind of football in the fall.
Yeah, there's a NFL classic. Coming up next, Game of Games. Nothing could be worse than the Game of Games that I created yesterday, Kirk. I'm not sure if you heard it, if you heard of it, or if it has gone viral, but it was the equivalent of doing a comedy set where everyone else in the room is watching a game and you're trying to get people to laugh at jokes and like it's just not going to happen. The question is like, should I just totally cut bait? Should I just, you know, keep on trying to make this happen, or should I give up, move along, and call it a day? That's what happened. This time it's producer Lindsay who came up with the game. I think it's going to be better. Is it better, Linz?
I mean, anything's better than that game yesterday, but I consider myself a pretty good game maker-upper.
Okay, yeah. So, low bar. Lindsay's going to try to clear it. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, Information in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Kirk, Ramona Kirk Morrison here, Ramona Shelburne, in for Mason in Ireland on 710 ESPN, and we are going to play Game of Games. Producer Lindsay, what's the game today? What do we got?
Well, today we're going to play a little version of Price is Right, ooh, eBay edition.
Okay.
And so I've put together kind of like a Price is Right game. The only difference is instead of you bidding on the item or trying to guess how much the item sold for without going over, I think it would be the most fair for everybody to just guess what the item sold for and remove the whole going over thing, because that avoids the whole $1 and people bidding one penny more than the other person. I think it makes it the most fair. Right. So what I've done is I've set items.
Yep.
And they are all items that were sold on eBay. The theme for today is Dodgers memorabilia.
All right.
These are all Dodgers memorabilia. They sold on eBay for this price, and you guys are each going to guess how much it sold for, and the closest person gets the point. So we've got seven.
Whether or not you go over. It's okay if you go over. Right. I like it. Good. Okay.
All right. So first item we've got here is a 2015 Bowman Chrome Cody Bellinger autograph card. It's called a 150 blue refractor first Bowman card.
Say that fast.
Yeah, I know. It's fancy schmancy. Basically, it's a baseball card that is autographed by Cody Bellinger. It's graded and certified a 9.5 gem mint.
Whoa.
And like I said, it is a perfect bold blue autograph. Start with Ramona. How much do you think this item sold for?
I will say $2,500.
Okay. Kirk, what do you think?
Oh, rookie card. I think I'm going to go, is it recently, right? When's this sell? When was it sold?
It's anything. It would have sold in like the last, I think, 60 days. That's what.
Okay, because he's already won his MVP.
But it's like special, right? Like it's encased and it's
graded, encased, autographed.
Yeah. Okay, I'll double Ramona. I'll go $5,000.
Okay, and Funch, what do you think?
Some big hitters over there. I'm going to go $200.
All right. Well, Funch, you were way off. I'll start by saying that. the actual selling price for this item is $5,049, making Kirk the winner. You got that one right?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
The reason why I said that was because the price tag on that went up once he won the MVP. So exactly. You win the MVP, that award, now that card is worth a lot more because if he goes and wins
like two or three more. And it's like a special signed rookie card. Yeah, right, that's good.
It's just like whoever has that Mike Trout rookie card, it's going to be worth some money one day. A lot.
All right. The next item is a very rare Miss Piggy LA Dodgers bobblehead. This was a giveaway from a game in 2003. The condition is new. The bobblehead has never been removed from the plastic and the foam. So we'll start with you, Kirk. How much do you think this item sold for?
I believe it sold for $79.
Okay. And Ramona?
No, Funch is next.
Funch is next. You're right.
I say people pay a lot of money for those bobbleheads. I'll say $120.
Okay. And Ramona?
I am going to go higher. I still think that that's a Miss Piggy, so that's not something. And key thing, 2003. That thing is 17 years old, mint condition. I'm going to say $500.
Okay, so I think I'm going to have to do a little math here. The selling price for this item is $305.03. So okay. I think that would make it...
Ramona.
Right? What did you say, Funch?
I said 120.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you went over, right?
No.
No, we're allowed to go over.
Yeah. So wait, actually, I think Funch is right.
Funch got it. Wait, Funch 123. Yeah, okay.
180, Funch. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he just got me.
Funch, huh?
He just got me.
I'm horrible at math.
Nah, you're good. I got you, Funch.
So after two, Kirk has one and Funch has one. Ramona has zero. Okay. All right, next item. A 1978 Dodgers National League Championship 14-karat gold ring. It's an original ring that belonged to a member of the coaching staff. It's in great condition, size 12.5. Funch, how much do you think this item
What year
for?
Is it again? What year?
1978.
1978 World Series ring?
NLCS championship ring.
Ring, I'll say $900.
Okay. And
what does the ring look like? Has it got like diamonds and pearls and stuff in it?
It doesn't have a lot of diamonds. It kind of has like a blue, whatever that like blue lacquer is. And then it says Dodgers across it. And then it's got some rings on the side. Diamonds on the side.
Yeah. They didn't win in 78. They just got the NL. So I don't think that's worth as much.
Yeah.
Like it's cool and all, but it's not a World Series ring. There's not like diamonds. What did Funch just guess?
$900.
Oh, I'm going less. I'm going to say $175.
All right. Kirk, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going right around $275, though.
Okay. The actual selling price for this item is $1,925.
What?
Meaning Funch gets a second
ring. Wow. Really, guys?
What?
Plus, it's 14-karat gold, you know? I mean, the gold alone.
Yeah, they didn't win, though.
Yeah.
All right.
I want that. Oh, because it's a 14-karat second place trophy.
Yeah. Not even second place.
It's for the guy who can't afford the World Series ring. Okay. He buys the NLCS ring.
Yeah.
All right. Next item is a Brooklyn Dodgers 1955 Ebbets Field ticket stub. But not just any ticket stub. This ticket stub is from the game where Sandy Koufax made his MLB debut.
Oh, wow.
It's encased, authenticated, and graded a 4 by PSA. So it's in a little below average condition. What do you think this item sold for, Ramona?
I'm going to say $3,000.
Okay. And then who's next? It would be Kirk, right?
Yep. I'm going to go with, I think this is probably about $20,000.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, dang.
Funch?
I will say $8,000.
All right. The actual selling price of this item was $4,499.
I'm on the board.
And Ramona, you are finally on the board.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, her Ebbets Field, and that's historic.
Yeah, it's cool. It's just not in good condition.
Yeah, I think that's what, if it were like seven or eight even, it probably would be triple that for sure. All right, next item here. We've got three more. Vin Scully signed baseball, PSA DNA authenticated. It's an official National League baseball, and it comes with the letter of authenticity. what do you think Vin Scully's autographed baseball went for? Start with Kirk.
Vin Scully autographed baseball, I think, would go for, I would say, $300.
All right. And what's next would be Funch?
$700.
Okay. And Momo?
Oh, I'm going to go right in the middle there. I'm going to go $500.
Oh, you saved me from doing some math, Ramona. It was $449.99.
Excellent.
You are on the board again.
All right.
So
last
far,
question?
We've got two more.
Okay.
Well, actually, so Kirk has one, Funch has two, Ramona has two.
Yeah, I got to get caught up.
All right. Next one is a Mr. Potato Head Dodgers Sports Spuds. Okay. It's a collectible children's toy released in 2006, right. New in the box, unopened, and super rare. It's basically Mr. Potato Head with Dodgers accessories.
All right.
All right, so how much did this item sell for, Ramona?
I think it's Funch first.
Oh, Funch, sorry.
2006, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Potato Head, I'll say $200.
All right, and next would be Kirk, right?
No, it's Momo. No, I'm
sorry.
I think that's expensive. I think that's like a really rare collector's item. So I'm going to go $3,000.
All right, Kirk.
Yeah, I'm gonna go just $1,000.
All right, and Funch gets that one, $44.99.
Let's buy one, huh?
Walmart. Yeah.
Nobody really wants it. So in other words,
six. Funch has three. Ramona has two. And Kirk has one. So, Ramona, you could tie it up here, and we could have to go to a tiebreaker.
Okay.
But, Kirk, you can play spoiler. All right. The last one is a vintage 1963 Dodgers full matchbook stadium issued. This collectible item was distributed only at Dodger Stadium in 1963. It's in mint condition, never opened. You will not see or find another, notes the seller. So, full Dodger Stadium matchbook.
Matchbook, like a book of matches?
Yep. You know, people collect matches from like hotels and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Funch is ahead, right? He is he's the most, so he's gonna go first.
Matchbook, huh? From 1963. Wow. I say $5,000.
All right. And Ramona, you're gonna go next.
I don't think that's as much. I'll say $500.
Okay, Kirk.
I'm right in the middle, $2,500.
Well, Ramona, you've tied it up because that one went for
$80.
$80? $80?
I was actually even going to say less. I was going to say
$300. Might as well just use those matches.
I know, right?
You will not find another. They're like, yeah, but it's just like matches. People are not that impressed.
I think it's a pretty cool item to have, though. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of people that actually collect matchbooks. Like, a ton of people collect matchbooks. So, that one was really cool. All right. So, last item here. It's a tiebreaker between Funch and Ramona. And, Kirk, if you want to play. Sure. Well, I guess it's between the closest between you guys, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
So, this one is... Hang on, let me pull it up here.
A very heated battle, Momo.
What's that?
Yeah. A very heated battle here.
This is about as close as I've come to winning in a Wild Bunch.
Okay. We've got a 1952 Topps Roy Campanella rare baseball card. It's not autographed. It is not authenticated. So it's just a loose baseball card, 1952 Topps Roy Campanella card. What do you guys think? Start with you, Ramona.
All right. I'll say $300.
Okay. Punch?
I will say $75.
Okay. And what do you think, Kirk, just for the heck of it?
I'm going to do $49. It's a good price. $49.
Ramona, you win.
$1,300.
Wow.
Yeah.
Camp's not
graded and authenticated, and somebody paid $1,300 for a 1952 Roy Campanella card. That's insane.
I don't think that the grading and authenticating it matters. Like if that was graded and authenticated, it's just more 1952. You don't find too many of those. Those are right. and he's an all time great in the Hall of Fame. So yeah. Wow. I don't even know what it feels like to win, Lindsay. This doesn't happen for me.
Well, now you know. Now you're on the board. So for Game of Games now for August, it's already August. Let's see. I've got 4.
Yeah.
John has 3. Funch, you've got 1, correct?
Yes, I do.
And then I don't think Mace has any yet. And so you've got more than Mace right now, Rona.
I've got more than Mace. Although, I mean, to be fair, my game yesterday was so bad, I almost feel like... Like, I don't know.
Well, you
like,
made up for it. If I win,
yeah,
today.
I made up for it. I won, and it was a comeback win. Okay, I'm into it. I will accept the win. I'm not going to have imposter syndrome, you know, with my win because I never win. And we're going to see what Alan Sliwa thinks when we come back. Crosstalk? I don't know. Who's on with Sliwa today? Who's up?
That's Sliwa. Sliwa with the Sliwa show.
Just Sliwa. Sliwa just talking to Sliwa? Okay. Well, you can join us. That's fine. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, in for Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Woo! I've had fun today. Kirk, you have fun today?
Absolutely, Momo. Yeah, we can do this again was good. Tomorrow, too. So.
I know. I don't get to leave very often. I'm always, like, in the passenger seat. And, like, John gets to talk about what he wants to talk about. Mason talks about what he wants. Alan Slee was used to that. He just talks
Ramona,
to himself
you
every
just
night.
Drive wherever you want to drive today. You know,
I mean, be careful when you say that because Kirk and I ended up talking about breastfeeding. I mean,
okay,
you know,
okay, yeah,
like, took a little, you don't know where it's
took a little
go.
Left there.
Yeah, yeah, we were in Radio Tinder, and all of a sudden, I'm telling stories about sending breast milk home. Like, I don't know where that happened. And then, you know, we started off the show playing that Sean McVay clip. I don't have you heard this yet?
Oh yeah, I heard it. Yeah, yeah. Kirk enjoyed it yesterday. Kirk and I did a show. And Kirk definitely made sure that I listened to that a couple times. Sean McVay is very specific about what he wants in certain areas of that training facility.
Yeah, I just have one comment about going number 2 in Portos. Like, there are times when it cannot be avoided. You just really got to go, and that's the only place you have.
Splash
but,
Mountain.
Yeah, I just... Just the thought of the splash. It just...
Well, but Ramona, you make a point on this. Yeah. If it's last resort, it's last resort. There's nothing
it's
you can do.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. Yeah, I know. But like the thing about... I don't know why when you talk about bathroom humor... We should play the clip for people who haven't heard it, by the way. So, Funch, you have that?
Hey, and this also, don't be the guy that takes the porta potties. All right? I went in there. I about threw up. All right? Have a little bit more social awareness. That's to take a... Don't take a in the porta potties, all right?
Somebody in the porta potty. We got to start putting the camera on the porta potty and see who in there. Somebody a part of the Hard Knocks crew in the porta potty.
I don't know
that's
what it is.
That's the best part about blaming it on Hard Knocks. Oh, that's by far the best part.
Like, what is it? Like, okay, you know what? This is why you don't let Ramona drive, because we're going to tell some weird stories right now, okay? Like, what is it about bathroom humor that even when we're 40 years old and we've been going to the bathroom in front of other people for years, like, it's still funny. It's still just funny. I don't know what it is.
Kirk, you can handle that one. Why, Kirk?
I think it's just because a lot of times, like, when we hear public restrooms,
yeah,
I don't think we've been to, like, there's one thing when you're in an office or certain, like, safe places. Like, oh, yeah, go to the bathroom. It's great. But when we think of, like, public places, like, just the name porta potty, like, you think of going to, like, festivals and carnivals.
Oh, yeah, and how many people have been in there doing who knows what.
And it's just, like, a certain smell that's in there, right? And you're like, and you mentioned the chemical smell in there as well, and you're like... And then a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times when you do go to a porta potty, I don't know why, it just seems like the temperature is always 100 degrees.
Yeah,
yes, it's 125. And you're like sweating
in there. 125 in there.
And it's like, so the temperature outside could be 75.
Sure, 75, it's like, nice. No. The sun is shining. Inside, it's a whole
cooking.
Different story.
Yeah, it's cooking. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's... You know, my friend and I, my best friend from forever, Allie, we went, a couple years ago, we went to the Ojai Valley Spa for my 40th birthday. Okay. So this, I guess it was just last year. And this was like my birthday trip and all this stuff. And, you know, this first time we hadn't traveled together in a while, like, because we're just grown women, like, we're 40 years old, we don't really like go on girls trips that much, and it's like different. I'm so used to like, my husband and I've already worked it out, we're just like the couple, we don't like really do that in front of each other. Like, some couples are like, yeah, whatever, we leave the door open. No, I still think there's things that we don't need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't need to go there. It's like, I know,
close the door, turn the shower on. Let's keep things.
There's just a certain level that we don't cross. But like, when you travel with your friend, all of a sudden I was like back in high school again. I was like, I gotta go pee in front of her, I gotta go number two in front of her, right? Like, you know you're just like trying to feed stuff. And I remember she had a few more issues, like she was like almost a little nervous, and I was like, dude, I don't care, just do whatever you got to do in there, I'm not even thinking about it. If it makes you feel better, I'll like turn on the noise machine or something, like you can you know, whatever it is. So we start having this conversation, we're sitting out at breakfast, right, and there's like all these tables. And all of a sudden, I just realized that our entire conversation about how we go to the bathroom in the morning and how we're going to handle this is like, this table next to us was just eavesdropping the whole time. What? Just the whole time. Like, and I was like, really? Oh, we're okay.
I got the perfect transition.
Yeah.
You guys ready? You guys ready to go off the restroom stories?
Go ahead.
I don't know. Got? Let's see.
Ramona's not ready. No, she's not ready. Did you guys see? Schedule's out. Got the schedule.
Oh god, yeah.
Schedule's finally out.
We can see, yeah, the Lakers, you know,
Allen.
When is the seventh game over?
Kirk, Lakers in six over the Blazers.
Lakers in seven.
We've been talking about that for
Blazers in seven
2 weeks now.
Allen got uncomfortable. We made Allen uncomfortable, didn't
we? Did. Well, see, Marauder,
I was looking at Funches too, and we made some eye contact, and you know, just I was trying to read where we were.
Read the room. Funches was uncomfortable. Okay, I got it.
But Ramona, we've got this thing though. Me and Allen, we've been going back and forth, and I'm gonna be honest with you. So about 2 weeks ago, after watching just the scrimmages in the first two games of the bubble for the Portland Trailblazers, I told Allen.
Kirk got excited.
Allen, I said, dude, watch out for Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you right now. Like, I'm watching Dame, I'm watching Collins come back. I watch, you know, Nurkic look just unbelievable.
Kirk was like, an underground scout.
I'm saying, look, this team is not an 8 seed if they make it. And then all of a sudden, a week goes by, and Dame starts heating up, and then another week goes by, and then Allen's, you can sense he's a little nervous right now that he doesn't want to play. He's rooting quietly for the Memphis Grizzlies, because he knows that Dame Lillard and these Blazers, they've got a legitimate shot, like a real strong shot of pushing the Lakers to seven games. I don't think that they'll win, but I think that they can push the Lakers to seven games.
Here was the thing with Portland, and I'm, this is one of those, you know, the thing with predictions is that when you get one right, you just like hold on to that forever, right? Like, you're like, and when you get one wrong, you're like, I don't even know, right?
Still hearing from friends in like 2008.
Yeah, like, you know, my like, hey, I'm telling everybody that I picked Ja Morant for Rookie of the Year, right? But I'm not, let's not get into that whole Anthony Davis MVP pick, because that didn't work out so well, right? I think with the Portland pick, like, to me, they were always the most dangerous team, even before the season shut down, even before the 4-month layoff, just because it's Dame Lillard. I always thought they were going to catch Memphis for the 8th seed. They had, at the time, and this is, they didn't complain about it. They didn't talk too much about it. But Portland had the easiest remaining schedule of all the rest of the teams that were in that grouping. And they would have had, you know, a lot of games against
non-playoff
teams. About
20 games left, too, total, you know, about 19, 20 games left.
And they had the easiest road to make the playoffs. Memphis had one of the hardest roads. The only other team that had an easier schedule than Portland was New Orleans, which they still couldn't get it together. But I think Portland then got all those games replaced with playoff teams. And they've had every single game that they've played in the bubble has been meaningful. So the Lakers have been kind of ramping up to playoff mode. They've been sort of getting their sea legs back. Portland just had to get right to it. Like, they've already been in an 8-game playoff series. That's what these games have been for them.
So, Ramona, I've been running my mouth for the past week saying, bring on the Blazers. You know, when you say that, sometimes you're not even sure how confident you are when you say a certain statement. Sure. I think that's where I am on the Laker front, but I'm running with this, and I say bring on the Blazers. By the way, if it is Lakers-Blazers, That will be just an incredible, exciting, you got star-studded players. Portland has such an interesting storyline. Like you were just mentioning, Ramona, they've basically been in the postseason for the last 2 weeks, the Blazers have. For the Lakers, they've been sitting in, you know, Disney World at a resort acting like they're not, they're paying no attention to the basketball part. And I say that, I know, half-heartedly joking around, but the reality is Lakers have had nothing to play for. So it could be a very, very exciting series, and that's why I keep telling Kirk, Lakers in six. That's it. That's
well,
it, Kirk.
Here's the thing. We've got to, you know, first Portland has to win this game. It's starting right now. They're tipping off against the Brooklyn Nets. I think they're going to win this game. I can't imagine they would come this far and lose that game. But there is another side of this, which is they've had to push themselves pretty hard.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Just to get here. They've had to push themselves pretty hard just to get into the playoffs. Nobody has their legs back, so they've had to push when they haven't had their legs. CJ McCollum just came out that he's been playing with a fractured vertebra in his back. That doesn't sound
good. How do you play with that?
You grit it out. And, you know, I don't know how much do they have in the tank. I mean, it's early, so they should have something, but how does a guy like Dame Lillard keep that up? I saw them last year in the Western Conference Finals where they played against the, you know, they had against the Warriors, and it was like they were just out of gas. Like they that was where they really missed Nurkic and Zach Collins. They didn't have their two guys who had been lost to injuries, and they just hit the wall. They had a nice run, but that was all they had.
Ramona, part of the thing I like about if it ends up being the Portland trade, but and like you just said, they still have to win. I mean, I was rooting for Memphis to lose, nothing against the Grizzlies, but I really wanted to see Devin Booker and Dame Lillard over the weekend and see if we could have got that. But if they do win and it is Lakers versus the Blazers, you know, in that first round matchup, I think the Lakers need some kind of a wake up call. And there are a lot of fans that just think, not just fans, but just in general, you think there's a team out there that can flip the switch on any time. And I think that's kind of the picture that we've painted for the Los Angeles. Oh, when the postseason starts, they'll be fine. But this is a different scenario. I mean, they didn't play for 4.5 months. There's players on the team that weren't on the team for most of the season. Players, a starter that was on the team that's no longer there. So I'm a little weary when we just say they're just going to flip the switch on. I think it's going to take some time. If you play Portland coming out of the gate, you know, you have their complete attention. And, you know, Michael is a guy, Michael Thompson, we're doing the pregame show today. This isn't something I expect from Michael's mouth, but this is Michael being as honest as possible. He was talking about how dangerous Portland is. He said, I think the Lakers will win, but if they lost to the Blazers, he said it wouldn't be the biggest upset. So that kind of got me a little scared there.
Woo! All right, Slee, well, you got a game for us coming up next? What do we have in this next?
Oh, no. I did the game yesterday. What the hell is it called? Family Feud. Yesterday's Family Feud.
It was not bad compared to okay. Mine. It was outstanding.
It was okay. There was a couple questions. One of the questions in there I could have done better.
All right.
So I had a game for the four of you guys, but I think that since we're a little short on time, I think we should save it for tomorrow and really play it up over the next 24 hours.
Okay. So
just a heads up, just Lindsay, so you know, no show tomorrow on my end. Angels game tomorrow. Dodgers Angels 6:30.
That's right.
All right.
That's
right. 6:30. All right. Let's play the game then. All right. We'll go to break. We'll come on back. We'll play the game.
Look at Ramona. Okay. Drive, Ramona. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Ramona Shelver, Kirk Morrison, Alan Sliwa, Information and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great Cross-Trade service for our 710 ESPN listeners. A $99 drain cleaning. Go to powerproplumbing.com.
All Alan,
yes.
You are projecting strength. I see this in you. I know you have been talking about this on the air. You're saying, bring on the Blazers. You're confident. There's some part of you that wants to believe that. You can just speak it into being. How does this compare with your confidence level when you're going into the hot dog eating contest with Steve Mason?
That's a good question. That's a good question. The hot dog eating contest, since I've never eaten as many hot dogs as I can in 7 minutes and 10 seconds, I had no idea what I was, I just had no idea what to expect. And then Mace taking down, what did he take down, 13 donuts or something like that in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
So my thought process was, I'm just not going to pay attention to Mace, and I'm just going to freaking eat as many dogs as I can. Thank you to Kirk Morrison for a pep talk 2 days prior to the hot dog contest.
Hey, man, you don't keep score. You better win.
Confidence with the Blazers and Lakers compared to the hot dog eating contest. Blazers will be tough. I just don't think they're better than the Lakers. I mean, I just think in a seven-game set, Lakers will eventually, with LeBron and Anthony Davis, have an answer and maybe this Portland part of exerting so much energy. But I'm trying to sell myself on the Portland's not a big deal part.
Yeah. So I'm just one of those that says, you know, you're going to have to beat everybody at some point. And who's to say that this is a tougher matchup than the Suns. Mm-hmm. I mean, Devin Booker's been just as hot as Damian Lillard. You know, the Lakers actually match up a little bit better with Portland in terms of the bigs that they have. Like, Portland has Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins and Hassan Whiteside. Well, the Lakers have Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually can hang with their bigs. The issue, obviously, is the backcourt. And I don't know who they put on Damian Lillard. I don't know that there's anything you can do. Alex Caruso will take some turns. Danny Green will probably take some turns. But if CJ McCollum's a little dinged up, that changes things for the Blazers.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Michael was saying. You know, if CJ's not CJ McCollum, and basically, in a sense, referencing series, not necessarily it's over, but you know what he's trying to say. You got to have – you can't be missing a piece, especially that major of a piece. And you got to also hope that Damian Lillard, sometimes Ramona, you just hope a guy is off a couple nights. You know, he's been so unbelievable. Can he keep that up over a stretch of seven games where you're playing the same team over and over again and the adjustments are coming? Hopefully the answer is no, but he's been unbelievable in the bubble.
Well, I think also, too, though, you can throw a couple bodies at Anthony Davis, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's going to be about, changing the looks up on, because Anthony Davis is going to get his buckets. He's going to get, you know, his touches. But to throw different looks at him and not keep him comfortable is kind of what I think Portland wants to do if they make it. And then also LeBron, like, you know, for the first time in 17 years, he led the NBA in assists this year, right? So he's going to be a facilitator. But at what point does he turn it on and become the primary scorer? Right? Like, at what point is it just like, you know what? I got to just do this. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes it over. And if that happens and it gets into that one-on-one Dame versus LeBron, whew, that's, I mean,
who's going to guard LeBron in that series?
Multiple.
Carmelo?
Oh, no.
What are they going to put on him? Just
maybe
who's
Gary Trent?
I was going to say,
maybe?
Who's that size? Like, who can
I might even put Whiteside on him. I mean, you know, Zach Collins.
Or Zach Collins. Like, I think you could throw Zach Collins maybe on him.
Yeah. Nurkic is going to probably, you know, be on Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. And the challenge with that is that, you know, Anthony doesn't like playing in that traditional five role. He doesn't, you know, especially he doesn't want to be in there against the real big boys. It's small ball five is one thing, but, you know, against the big guys like Nurkic, he doesn't
want Adams and
get beaten up like that. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll try to do whatever they can to get, you know, to get switches off of him so that Anthony's freed up there. But, you know, remember this. A couple years ago, Anthony Davis and the Pelicans went and swept Portland out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it changed the Trailblazers and everything they were trying to build, because they realized that they couldn't go small ball anymore. Like, they had to put all their chips in and go big because small ball got swept.
Was that the DeMarcus AD year?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Yeah, that was playoff Rondo. That was Anthony Davis sweeping them. It was a humiliating loss for them. Just getting swept out of the playoffs like that. Anthony Davis, when you've had previous success against a team like that in the playoffs, you kind of always have that in your back pocket.
So I say bring on Portland, right? And then as I'm watching the game, I'm just naturally, every time Brooklyn scores, I got kind of like a small fist pump on the side. Do you guys ever have that happen?
Yep.
You're saying one thing and then you're like, I know, but if it's Brooklyn, if Brooklyn wins, we'll be okay with that.
Trust me, Brooklyn ain't winning tonight, brother. Let it go.
2019. It's a good game right now, Kirk.
Yeah. Hey, Alan, what do you got coming up on the show?
All right, Bobby Marks will come on at 7.
Oh my God, I love him.
Talk some. He's great. We'll talk some hoops, obviously, with him and the schedule and this race for 8th. Heather Dinich, who covers college football for ESPN, will try and get some kind of clarity on what's going on there. And then Alden Gonzalez, we'll talk some baseball at 8:30.
Wow, look at you booking all those guests. Look at those East Coast guests. They must like you if they're going to call in at East Coast times.
Two of them like me. One of them, I did record. I recorded Heather.
Oh, okay.
Had to record Heather.
Still impressive, though.
Why are you peeling people behind, taking people behind the curtain?
You know what?
Man,
I don't mind. I don't mind. You know, I try. You know what I try to do, Kirk? Especially for the East Coast people, if they can't do it, I understand. But a lot of them are incredibly accommodating, so I'm always appreciative of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Kirk, this has been fun. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Let's do it again tomorrow. Right back at it.
All right. 710 ESPN.